Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 8. And starting in verse 43, the Word of God says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.' While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler's synagogue's house, and this was on the way to heal. They sent for Jesus. His daughter was ill, and he wanted her to heal. And on the way, this woman touches him. And now, after she had touched him, there came someone from the man's house who called for him. And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master.' And when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.' And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, 'Weep not, for she is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, 'Maid, arise.' And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat." This is how it works sometimes with us believers. We have a need, and we perceive our need. And when we perceive our need, we go to the Savior if we are spiritual. We don't try to solve it ourselves. We found that any attempts to solve our own need were futile. This woman had an issue of blood 12 years. And she tried natural provisions and she tried natural solutions. But none of them solved her problem. We believers are like that. We think we have a need. And maybe we do have a need. And we try to solve our need through natural solutions and natural provisions, but they do not solve anything. Often somebody may be lonely, and they try to find their comfort in the world or in the ungodly. They try to find their comfort apart from Christ in natural solutions, but it will not comfort them, and their loneliness will not be assuaged. No, it doesn't work that way. And they try for a long time, perhaps. In one version of this, it says she had spent all her living. They give it everything they have. But the need is not changed. The need still exists. They have simply lost all they had. And what happens then? But then they turn. Then they come to the end of themselves. Then they realize that all of their natural provisions and all of their natural solution and all of their natural attempts and all of the natural places that they go apart from God did not solve things for them. And they finally come to the end of themselves, much like the prodigal did. And they say, maybe I will try to come to God. And they find a place where God is passing by. They go to a church perhaps, or to a Bible study. They speak to a believer who knows the Savior in a practical sense. God is passing by and they touch. They simply touch. They touch the heart of the Lord. They touch the life of God. When there is a garment, it frequently in the Bible speaks of a life or a lifestyle. they touched the life of God. And the moment that they touch the life of God, they become whole. You see, God cannot help but to answer that touch. If my knee touches the heart of God because I have taken my knee to God, God cannot help but to answer that touch. And Jesus said, virtue has gone out of me. Who touched me? Virtue. He sensed in his humanity that that part of God that was in him had been touched and something went from him. An excellence and a purity and a righteousness and a beauty and a glory went out of him. Virtue went out of him. The essence of who he is went out of him because somebody touched the heart of God. You see, she did not speak to him. She was afraid to speak to him. She was afraid to draw near, but she was desperate. And so she thought she would draw near without being noticed and simply touch the life of God in a very small way. And maybe something, somehow she heard that things happen around this man. And virtue went out of him instantly. It did not wait. She did not go home and then experience it in the next 3 months. No, virtue went out of him instantly, even without him saying a word to her, even without her saying a word to him. It went because she had touched the heart of God. And the life of God entered into her. And what happened? Immediately, her issue of blood staunched, stopped. It ended right there. Her need was met. The answer was fulfilled. It immediately was taken care of for her. God satisfied her need immediately as soon as she touched his heart. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter, brilliant Peter, always looking at by sight with the amazing capacity for faith. Peter said, hey, they're all touching you. They're all praying. They're all touching you. They're all there. Look how many people we have in the church here, God. They're all there. Aren't they all touching you? Aren't they all your children? Peter liked to walk by sight sometimes. When I walk by sight, I lose discernment. There is no such thing as discernment by sight. Discernment is an issue of the Spirit, not of sight. The sight is not near what faith can do for me. Sight always gets me in trouble. Faith always brings me closer to God. And Jesus, someone hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, God will never allow you to be hid for long. See, this is one of the things that believers think they have that they don't have, is hiding. There is no such thing as hiding from God. How do you hide from omnipresence? Like, where in the universe are you going to try to go? Because it's not going to work on earth. Where in the world? I mean, even if you try it on earth, God will make sure someone finds you out. And if somebody doesn't, the Holy Spirit certainly will, and they will bring someone to you. If I am right before God and I suffer in private, God will always send someone to me to comfort me, to be a joy to my heart, to be soothing, to be a balm. If I sin in private, God will always send someone to convict me. To say, hey, this is the way, walk in it. And the Holy Spirit in me, when they say it, and they have no idea that they're saying it, they may not even know my circumstances. They may be a complete stranger who is Spirit-filled. And they say to me without my knowing it or their knowing it, hey, this is the way, walk in it. And all of a sudden I become very convicted because the Holy Spirit is speaking to me through their words. And He brings the message to my heart and He says, this is the way, walk in it. Humility will say, yes, Lord, pride will kick against the pricks. But it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Oh, and you can kick against the pricks all you like. Eventually you will be bloodied and bruised and battered enough that you will stop kicking against the pricks and agree with God and say, yeah, God, it really is hard for me to kick against the pricks. The goads of God will always turn you. Those people who have cattle and use goads on their cattle, maybe the cattle doesn't listen eventually, but the goat can be pretty persuasive. God sends goads into our lives. I decide I'm going to go down the wrong road, and God sends goads into my life. Because that which I did not do in secret. God did make sure that it was found out. Right? Doesn't the Bible say, be sure your sin will find you out? Of course it does. I will always be found out. Nothing is covered that will not be uncovered. Nothing is done in secret that will not be proclaimed on the housetops. There is no secret place outside of God. But God is my secret place. God is my secret place. And though He will not share my sin perhaps with another person, the Holy Spirit is fully aware of it, and He screams, in a manner of speaking, He screams at me when that conviction comes. And I hear something and it says, this is the way. And it is loud and it is clear. And if I am proud, I get angry about it. And God says, I don't care if you're angry about it, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to run, God. I'm going to stop going to church. I'm going to withdraw from the body of Christ. I'm going to go headlong into sin if you do that. And God said, you're going to find a goad there. And be sure your sin will find you out. And sin is the great detective. And be sure it will chastise you, O prodigal. And then I get tired. And God has His way after all. Oh, I didn't need to get bloodied and bruised, but God has His way after all. But it's not only with something like sin, although so frequently in our lives, because we are humans, we have an old sin nature, it is with something like sin. But sometimes it's simply with suffering. Sometimes it is suffering for the glory of God, but I am only a man, my frame is made of dust, and God knows that. And He said, I will send encouragement into your heart. I will send people who will say something very casually. They don't know what they are saying. They will say something very casually to you, and it will encourage you in the patience of your trial. It will encourage you to endure where you are and to have faith and hope and a confident expectation from Me, because I have given you a promise. They say something that speaks to your heart and you say, wow. It's amazing, thank you. I didn't know that you knew that. You didn't know that. God knew that. He sent you into my path and you had no idea. See, sometimes we are like that. We show simple kindness to people and we encourage them in their suffering. We say, hello, give them a nice smile. God loves you. It's really great to see you today. Maybe they felt like they were worthless. And somebody said, hey, it's great to see you today. And God encourages them. Sometimes it's in our discouragement. The trial is too hard. The way is too long. The weight is too much. So we think. It really isn't. But our capacity may be small and God is causing us to grow. Because God will never give us more than we are able. And so God sends someone to encourage. God sends someone, puts it on their heart and says, you know, I think you're great. I like the way that you follow God. It blesses me. God sends someone and says, you know, you are faithful and I have noticed your faithfulness and it has made a difference in my life because you are faithful. And I may be discouraged, but here comes encouragement from God. Somebody's passing along the way. That was Christ passing along the way. Never be proud to the things that God sends your way. You are being proud to God. Always be humble and receive the love that He has for you and the kindness that He gives you. Never think that you can find a way that is better for yourself than the way that God has chosen for you, because you are wrong. No, God will always, but even if you do go there, God will come and He'll put goads in your life, and you will come to the end of yourself, and you will go and touch the hem of His garment. Because you will become desperate in your circumstance. By the way, God will always bring us one way or another, in one detail or another, be it from Him or be it from my own mistakes, God will always allow this to happen time and again, where I have to go and touch the hem of His garment. Whether it's suffering for the glory of God or whether it's suffering because of my own failure, I will have to touch the hem of His garment. And then, what happens? And He said to her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Daughter, be of good comfort." He did not say, "Lady." He didn't say anything of that sort. He did not treat her like a stranger. He treated her very intimately, like someone who was from His own body. And He said, "Daughter." And He treated her with such kindness and compassion and caring. And He accepted her as His own, because she would go and touch the hem of His garment. And He accepted it as His own. And He spoke to her in like manner, because that was truth. He said, "Daughter, you are of Me. Be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." I touch the hem of God's garment, and my faith makes me whole. My faith makes me whole. Sometimes I don't have the capacity to touch the hem of His garment. Sometimes my heart has become hard. And it's become hard perhaps because of my own decisions, my own negative responses to the initiations of God. Perhaps things are so difficult and I respond to them in the flesh and I turn negative and I harden my heart. Perhaps I pursue after something that is a lust pattern, and in order to accept it, in order to fight the conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit, I have to harden my heart. And what happens? Then somebody else goes. And they go to God on my behalf, because I certainly would not, because spiritually speaking, in a practical sense, I am dead and I am dying and I am almost dead. And somebody else goes to God on my behalf. And while He yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler's synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead." He sent for him before, and on the way, Jesus touched this woman, and now "thy daughter is dead." Oh, if He hadn't been touching this woman, perhaps, like Mary said, perhaps if He had come earlier, my brother would not have died. Perhaps if you hadn't been spending time with this person, making them whole, perhaps my daughter would not have died. Oh, don't look at things by sight. Don't reject the Master just because you think the promise is dead. Don't reject the Master just because you think His ability or His love toward you is dead. Don't reject the Master just because you have been lied to by Satan and that you think that His faithfulness toward you is dead. Don't reject the Master just because your sin has deceived you and you think things are dead. You think things are dead. Don't reject the Master. You see, there is no dead to the Master. Jesus said, "I am the life." Right? "I am the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Me. I am the life." There is no dead. And while He yet spake, there cometh one from the rulers of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the Master." Oh, it's hopeless, God, I give up on You. I'll never have my satisfaction, God, I give up on You. But when Jesus heard it, He answered him saying, "Fear not." "Oh, she's dead. I give up on you." He said, "You're afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be persuaded that my promise toward you is not going to come to pass when He said, I will pray. If you pray, I will give to you that which you have desired. Don't be dissuaded and don't be discouraged if by sight things aren't seeming to work out your way. Don't be dissuaded or don't be discouraged if there's a promise you have claimed from God, if things don't appear to be going according to that promise. Because every promise of God is yea and amen. Don't be dissuaded and don't be discouraged if your difficulty or your circumstance or your loneliness or your heartache is greater than you can bear. And it seems that God will never come through for you. And even the natural thing that you are hoping for, you know that you cannot have. Don't be dissuaded and don't be discouraged. Why? Don't be afraid, Jesus said. Fear not. Believe only. Believe only and she shall be made whole. Believe only and she shall be made whole. But she's dead. Believe only and she shall be made whole. Believe only and she shall be made whole. You see, this is the thing. She had no capacity to come to God. She was the victim of her circumstance and she had no capacity to come to God. Her circumstance claimed her. My situation, if I do not respond in positive volition, can claim me. The areas that I do not give to God, I give to Satan. And he can claim me. And he can claim those areas in my life. Her circumstance claimed her. And it appeared that her circumstance took her and that she was gone. But Jesus said, no, believe only and what? Believe only and she shall be made whole. Believe only for someone. You see someone who's struggling, you see somebody in the body of Christ and you take their circumstance to God and you pray for them, even though you may not discern exactly what is going on. Someone who is willfully in their own choices, in their own desires, making wrong decisions, going down a wrong path, and you see this person and you become afraid for them. Because you know the end of their road, and you know that the end of their road is complete destruction perhaps. You know that the end of the road will wound them and it will damage them and they will become damaged goods if they go down that road. And so you are afraid for them and you grieve for them and your heart breaks for that person. And you cry before God, God, this person that I love, please God, help them. God, this person, and you become afraid. And God says, fear not. Believe only and she shall be made whole. Believe only and her situation will be taken care of. Believe only and her needs will be met. Believe only and her thinking will be made correct with me. Believe only and she shall be made whole. Believe only and I will infuse my life into her so that even though she appeared to be dead, she will be alive again. Believe only and she will be made whole. This is how I respond to the difficult circumstances in my life. Believe only and she will be made whole. This is how I respond when loved ones or friends are making wrong decisions. Believe only and she will be made whole. I send to the Father, I get on my knees and I say, Lord, this person, she is dead. She is dying, God. She is going down wrong decisions. She is walking away from you. She is heading for things that will utterly destroy her, that will hurt her, that are bad for her. And I said, believe only and she will be made whole. Fear not. Don't you realize that in the prayer that you have brought to God when you sent for Him, He initiates the immediate response. Don't you realize that when I pray to the Father, the King and the Maker of the universe, and He answers immediately? And Satan is not greater than that person. Satan is not greater. Satan is not greater than even the most backslidden believer with the Holy Spirit in them, and the Holy Spirit will have His way. Oh, but they're making the wrong choices. The Holy Spirit will have His way. And if you pray, God will send goads into their life, and it will be difficult for them to kick against those goads. Believe only, and she will be made whole. Oh, but they don't have faith. They have a free volition. And yes, so does God. Believe only, and she will be made whole. But she's making her choices. Yes, she is making her choices. But you know what? God's choices are greater than hers, and her life has been bought with a price, and she is not her own. And even her decisions cannot change the fact that she is in the arms of God, and no one can remove her, and she cannot remove herself. Believe only, and she will be made whole. Do you understand? You bring someone to God, and He makes them whole. And you pray, and you do not quit praying until you've received the answer to your prayer. And you love people, and you do not stop loving people until you have received the answer of that love. You are kind to people, and you do not stop being kind to people until you have received the answer of that kindness, until it has borne its fruit. But they're difficult, and they're making the wrong choices, and they're rebellious, and they're unkind, and they're using their free volition for the wrong things. And God says, believe only. Oh, if I have to send a whale to get them, I'll send a whale to get them. But believe only. Believe only. And she will be made whole. It wasn't a conditional thing except for believing. Faith has the power to turn somebody's heart, even though it's not their faith, it's mine. My faith has the power to turn someone else's heart when I put my faith in the ability of God. And I put my faith in the ability of God on behalf of another person, and the whole government and authority of grace comes into their life and starts turning that person. And people say something to that person, and they are pricked in the heart because of the Holy Spirit's conviction. And they may still fight it, and then somebody else comes and he says something, and they are pricked in the heart because of somebody else's conviction. That's a goad. And eventually they'll fight that goat press, but they cannot fight goats forever, for goats do not go away. Goats are bigger than we are. A very large cattle will not be able to conquer a goat. The cattle will be turned by the goat. And so God sends goats, because I believed and I did not fear. Never fear for people in that sense. That is Satan's plan against you. Do you realize that if Satan is working on one person, he would love nothing more than to work on another one simultaneously? So don't fear. Don't give that part of your life to the enemy. Give that part of your life over to God. Hand that person over to God. It's like Paul said in 1 Corinthians about the man who was living in sin with all of all people, his mother. He was having an incestuous relationship with his mother. And Paul says, hand him over. Let's say, isolate him, hand him over. And what happened? Conviction came in. Don't be afraid to do it, just hand him over. Conviction came in. Conviction came in. God does never quit on the believer. He will always set goads in the believer's life. Hand that person to God. Bring them to God, God, and don't stop bringing them to God until the answer is fulfilled. And pray for each other in this sort of a way. Pray for your families in this sort of a way. Pray for those people you know. Pray for people in the church in this sort of a way. And you may not know their details, but say, God, this person, I sense that there is something not quite right there. This person, God, please. And God says, I know exactly what you're talking about. And He initiates an organized program whereby He will turn them. And He sends angels and He sends messengers, and He sends His believers, and He sends things that will turn them, that will convict them perhaps, that will turn them, that will love them, that will show them the mercy and kindness of God, but there will also be a goad to their heart, so that their heart will find no contentment in the place that it is going that is not of God. And God will make sure that that heart finds no contentment there. Pray for them. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Sometimes, when that happens, people don't believe it. People don't believe that the prayer will really work. Look at the circumstances. What are you going to do with this, God? The girl is dead. Look at the circumstances. And when he came into the house, in verse 51, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. The body of Christ comes in. She is dead. The body of Christ comes in. And the Savior is present. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with you also. And the Savior is present, and three from the body came to answer the prayer. And the Savior was present. And all wept and bewailed, but He said, "Weep not." They thought it was all lost and all hopeless, and He said, "Don't think it's all lost and all hopeless. She's not dead." That's absurd. Of course she's dead. They know dead when they see it. Of course she's dead. She sleepeth. She's not asleep. She's dead. Don't you realize that anyone with the Spirit of God in them cannot die? Oh, they may be completely asleep to the reality of God. They may be completely asleep to a life with Christ. They may be completely asleep to any hope from above. They may be completely asleep to the call of God, to the plan of God, to the promises of God, to the provisions of God, to the mercy of God, to the goodness of God. They may be completely asleep in their spirit, but they are not dead. The Holy Spirit is alive in them. And they laughed Him to scorn. The people who have faith for another person and say, "Hey, you're crazy. This person's nothing. This person's not even worth it." Oh, but the Savior didn't think that. He sent the body there. There is no such person who isn't worth it. God so loved the whole world that He gave His Son, the only Son He had, and He gave Him. There is no such person who is not worth it. And they laughed Him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. They did not trust because they walked by sight and looked at their circumstance and wound up mocking God. And He put them all out. All you guys who want to doubt, all you guys who don't want to believe Me for this person, get away from them. He put them all out. And He took her by the hand and calling, saying, "Maid, arise." And the Spirit came again. The Spirit came again. The Spirit brought her to life. And the Spirit came again. And she was Spirit-filled again. And the mercy of God did it for her. She was alive again. And she had a life with God again. And she was right with God again. The Spirit came again. The Spirit did not let her go. The Spirit came again. And she rose straight away. Immediately, the prayer came, the body came, and immediately the Spirit came again. And she rose. And there was life and health and vigor and vitality and dynamic. There was something in her that was not there before. Although she had not completely lost the Spirit, she wasn't walking in the Spirit, but the Spirit came again. And He filled her again and He renewed her again. And He gave her life again. Oh, the scars that people bear because of their wrong choices, but the Spirit will come to them again. And He will make them whole. And He says, "Arise again." And then He commanded to give her meat. And God says, "Give them something to eat. Give them the Word of God. Give them the love of God. Give them the Holy Spirit. Give them a provision from God. Give them the care of God. Give them the mercy of God. Give them meat. Do not remember their failures. Give them meat. Give them the finished work. Love them. Take care of them. Give them, build them, edify them. Build up their inner man. Give them meat. Why? Because you've only believed. And that's how she was made whole. When you see someone who is struggling with God, immediately bring them to the Savior. God, this person. And though you may not know the full details or even any, maybe you don't know what's really going on in their life. Maybe you just discern something and it's a vague kind of an impression, but you know that there's a real discernment there, that this is real. And even if it's subjective, who cares? You brought them to God. He knows. And you don't violate their privacy, and you certainly don't violate the love of God. But you bring them to the Savior, and immediately He acts and puts goads in their life. And they turn. And they turn. People turn when believers pray. People turn when believers pray. Because that's really all it takes. Believe only, and she will be made whole.